Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Oh, it's so good to be able to gather with the three people that are sitting in front of me. My family are the faithful three right now. I think we're going to get some more of our team. We're going to come out here today. But man, we love you, Hope Church. I love you. My heart misses you so much. I've been seeing random people at different times, and it just feels different when you get to actually look somebody in the eyes and just feel the love of God. I know you feel that too. I want to encourage you at the end of the service today that what Dana mentioned earlier is we are going to have a kind of a different opportunity for us that, you know, in our services each week, when we're gathering together, we have ministry time. It's a huge part of what we do, where ministry team comes and just prays for all the needs and all the things that are going on in people's lives. And today we are going to be able to do that by Zoom. So in the feed of whatever you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you're going to be able to see a link there, and you're going to be able to click on that link if you'd like for prayer. You'd actually to pray with a live person face to face over Zoom today. So we're super, super pumped about that. I encourage you to do that. Man, this morning isn't so much a teaching that I'm going to share, but really more of a sharing of what the Lord has just been stirring in my heart for us. So some broad strokes for, I believe, this season and this moment that we're in. The Lord just highlighted some things to me to kind of frame and kind of help us bring our hearts together as we're in the moment that we're in. So I just want to pray before I begin. Father, I thank you that your peace is here. Your peace is upon me because you're in me. I pray that the word of God, what you've given me today, would literally translate into homes and devices, and our hearts would be open and our ears would be open. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when we accepted Jesus into our lives, when we encountered Jesus and we said yes to him, when we surrendered our lives to him, he gave us a new life. We just really celebrated what he did through his death and his resurrection as we took communion. He gave us a new life. He literally took us from death to life. We literally left a life that we lived that was lived for what we want, right? And we entered into a life that now is centered around what he wants. So we lived a life that was centered around me, and now we get to live a life that's centered around what he wants, where we no longer live for what we desire and what we want specifically, but our desire and our actions are now centered around what he wants and what he desires, where it becomes a joy to actually say yes to him. Can we just right now where you are, could we just say that out loud? Just say, we say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you. There is such a joy in the surrender of saying yes to him. And then when we say yes to him, we grow into knowing him and knowing his heart and becoming like him through closeness and relationship. The scripture tells us that as believers, that those who have been given this new life, it says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. In fact, Philippians chapter 3 says that our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus says in John 15, he says to his disciples, he says this, he says, you don't actually belong to the world. He says, but I've chosen you out of the world. When Jesus called the disciples, he called them radically to follow him. It was a radical call that he said. He said, hey, drop what you're doing and come follow me. Drop your nets right in the middle of fishing. Drop your nets and come follow me. Hey, drop what you're doing. Drop that tax collecting and come follow me. It's what he did to his disciples. It was a radical call. And it's what he does to us as well. It's what he did to them, and it's what he's doing with us. The whole purpose of life changes when we begin to follow Jesus, because the whole point of life changes when we follow him. And following Jesus is actually radical, right? It's so radical because he's radically different from the world. And he gives a radical call to live differently from the world. So what does he do? As we accept him, as we surrender to him, as we say yes to him, he calls us out of the world, but he leaves us in the world. And what does he do? He gives us a mission. He gives us an assignment. And the mission and the assignment is to join him and to partner with him in seeing his kingdom come. And we see his kingdom come. How does that happen? We see it come through our home. We see it come through our neighborhood. I was with a friend yesterday who I stood out on his back porch and he was telling me all the relationships that he has with all the neighbors of the houses that I could see. It was so powerful because the Lord has given him a heart for his neighborhood and God is advancing the kingdom through my friend. And he said, oh, this neighbor, this, and he started describing all the things. So we're on assignment at home, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our city, in our nation, in our world. And see, the nature of the kingdom of God is continual advancement. It's a continual increase because there is no end to the increase of his kingdom. So what do we do in a moment like we're in this situation? I believe that our posture in this moment right now, in this moment as a church, is that we are a part of a kingdom that is increasing and that is advancing. We are a part of a kingdom that is increasing and advancing, and it's advancing through his church. It's advancing through believers. So what does that mean? It means regardless of what is going on around us in the world, this is whatever's going on around us now, it's the same for any moment in history, any pandemic, any virus, any situation, any war that's going on in the world, regardless of what is going on around us, regardless of what is shut down, regardless of what is messed up, regardless of what is cuckoo crazy, okay? You know what I'm talking about when I say cuckoo crazy. Regardless of the who, what, where, what, why stories that are just swirling all around, and you know what I mean by all of that. I don't have to go into it, right? I can't keep up with the latest twists and turns. There's so many. Regardless of the headlines, we are a part of a kingdom that is advancing. We are a part of a kingdom that does not stop advancing because of what's going on around us. In the world, we are a part of a kingdom that does not stop advancing because of craziness in government or situations or whatever's going on in the nations ever. It never stops advancing because the world is in chaos. Church, we're a part of a kingdom. We're in the kingdom. We are citizens of a different kingdom. We are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's what Hebrews 12 says. It says that while everything that can be shaken will be shaken, what is kingdom will not be shaken. How many are thankful that you, as a believer, are in the kingdom? And that everything that's shaking around us is going to be shaken, but the one thing that will not be shaken is the kingdom of God. So even in your life, if there are things that are being shaken right now, there's a reason for that shaking because what will remain will be kingdom. That's the same for the church as well. That even things in the church that are being shaken right now, the things that will remain will be kingdom, but the things that are not will be shaken out. How many say yes to that? I say yes, shake me, Lord, till only you remain in my life. We are here and we are breathing. And this is what I feel to tell you today. We are alive and we are on the planet to join him. To bring his kingdom here, right now. We are on the planet. You are breathing. Your lungs have air in them. You are able to worship today. You are able to open your eyes this morning because you have been put on this planet to bring his kingdom here, to bring it now on earth as it is in heaven. And we must resist the mindset and we must refuse to partner with the idea that somehow kingdom advancement is on hold because of what is going on in the world. We must refuse the mindset that the kingdom advancement is somehow on pause or in timeout. Or because we've been unable to gather in large group worship gatherings, we have to refuse the mentality that the kingdom is on hold and it's not advancing. It's just not true. Church, he is moving now. And he is expanding right now. And he is looking for you and he's looking for me to join him in the expansion right now. And I believe what he's looking for across the earth is that he's looking for those that will say, I'm available and I want to be used and I want to be a part of what you're doing in this time. And I'd like to actually suggest to you right now that this is actually our time. That this is actually our time, that even though it doesn't look like what we thought, it is our time to shine bright. It is our time to break into the darkness and shine with the light of Jesus in this moment. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, hey, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill, shining bright into the darkness. You're like a lamp on a stand in a house that brings light. He speaks to both in a home, light in a home. We're light in the marketplace, out in the world. Guys, this is our moment to shine bright. This is our moment to shine bright. So the question is, how do we do it? And I think the Lord highlighted a couple of things to me. I think that Jesus makes it really clear, and he makes it really simple in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says this one simple verse. He says this. Says this is after his death and his resurrection. And he's speaking to the disciples. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives that we're able to be the witness. It's the Holy Spirit upon the church, meaning the Holy Spirit upon you, meaning the Holy Spirit upon me, walking full of the Spirit, and then looking to Jesus to see what he did. I think these two things are the key, that we are a church that is to be full of the Holy Spirit, and then we look to Jesus to see what he did, and that's what we do. Meaning, like, what did he do? That's what we do. We look to Jesus, say, what did he say? And that's what we say. How did he do it? And that's how we do it. And if we don't see it in Jesus, then we don't do it. Can you imagine what would happen just if we did that? Like what did Jesus do? Hey, I'm going to go do what he did. What did Jesus say? How did he navigate through all the things? I'm going to give myself to that because that's how I want to navigate my life through these things. What did he say? I want to say it. How did he do it? And if we don't see it in him, we don't do it. What we see in him, we do. So how do we even get into this? I believe it's simple. I believe it's this. We got to dig in. We have got to dig in. We have four gospels that are filled with how the Father sent Jesus to bring the kingdom. We have an entire testament before that that points to him. We have an entire book about how the early church followed Jesus and how they walked in the power of the Spirit and spread the gospel across the globe. Church, it is a time where we must dig in on our own and together. I got to tell you this, a 30-minute sermon on Sunday will not get you dug. How's that? A 30-minute sermon on Sunday is not going to get you dug. Each of us in this moment that we're in has to dig in. Would you say it out loud with me? Say it to somebody next to you. Say, I'm going to dig. I'm going to dig. So we can really know what it is to be kingdom. Because if we don't really know what it is to be a kingdom person, a citizen of heaven, if we don't really know, we're going to get confused and we're going to start acting like the world. And we're going to start talking like the world. And we're going to start forming mindsets like the world. And we're going to start posting like the world. Uh-oh. Charity's amening me down here. We're going to start doing things like the world. If we don't really know, if we're not really rooted in Jesus, if we're not really rooted in his ways and what he said, if we're not rooted in the scripture, we're going to take these mindsets and then hold some kind of truths and mix them up. And it's going to get really confusing. And then we forget who we are and we forget where we're from. Church, we've got to dig into Jesus. We got to dig into Jesus and really give ourselves to how he lived. To how he responded. There's no other way to know how to respond in this moment than to look to Jesus. You can't respond because of what somebody around you is telling you how to respond. You got to dig deep in the word to know how to respond. You can't hear even people you respect and just take their thoughts and their views. You got to dig into the word to know what Jesus has said and who he is so that you can do what he did. And you can respond how he responded. We got to dig into Jesus. We got to dig in so that we will know how to advance the kingdom. Got to dig in to how he responded. Dig into how the kingdom was advanced through the early church as they navigated through difficulties. I know many of us are facing many extreme difficulties and challenges right now, but I want to encourage you that as a kingdom person, as a citizen of heaven, hear me on this. This is not a moment to get sidetracked by all that's going on around us. This is a time to get full of the Spirit of God, full of the Word of God, and bring heaven to all that's going on around us. This is what I feel in my heart today for us. This is not a moment to get sidetracked and swirled up in all the things. This is a moment to get full of the Spirit, to get full of the Word and what he said. Church, our battle is not against flesh and blood. I just want to remind you today, our battle is never against people. We're in a spiritual battle and we can't fight it in the arm of the flesh. We cannot do this moment in the arm of the flesh. Spiritual warfare is done in the Spirit. Spiritual warfare is done in the Spirit. It's not done in the flesh. Jesus said this in John 18, 36. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews." In that same chapter, Peter, he tried to cut off the ear of a soldier who had come to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, that's not the way, Pete. He said, Pete, hey, hold up. That's not how this goes. And what does Jesus do? He heals the ear of that soldier. And he reminds Peter what the kingdom is really like. He says, hey, that's not it. That's not the way. Church, this moment that we're in, let's resist fighting how the world fights. We got to resist how the world fights. Let's never try and conquer and dominate and control the way the world does. Jesus has a different way. I want to remind us today that we are kingdom first. That we are kingdom first, that we are citizens of heaven first. And Jesus has called us, and Jesus has sent us to represent him and represent his kingdom right here, right now. Right after his death and his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he spoke this in John 20, 21 to 22, and it's a passage that I've just been meditating on. It says this, he comes to them and he says, "Peace be with you." And he says this, "As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I've just been praying on this one verse over the last couple of weeks. I've just been meditating on this verse. And what I hear him saying for us, Hope Family, what I hear him saying to us is this. I hear him saying it to us right now. I hear him saying, hey, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So you got to look at how the Father sent me, and then you're sent in the same way. See, when we surrender to Jesus, like really surrender, when we like lay our lives down and say, Jesus, I'm fully available to you. My life is yours. It's not mine anymore. We become a sent one. I'm not talking about just saying a little prayer and then going on with life as it was. I'm talking about when we become like a disciple, when we become those that say, I am following after Jesus, we become a sent one. The same way the Father sent Jesus, then he sends us to be his expression on the earth, to be his heart on the earth. That's why if you are a believer, it matters so much what you're expressing. It matters so much what you're expressing because you represent him now. We represent him now everywhere we go. When we're in Walmart, we're in Target, we're in Lowe's with the millions of people that are fixing their lawns up, you know, during the quarantine. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people, I mean, the yards are going to be amazing after these few weeks. But that's in that moment, we're representing him. Here's the thing, when you say yes to become a disciple to Jesus, you're in the ministry. You're in the ministry. Every believer is called to advance the kingdom, so every believer is a minister. Every believer is a minister. What if in this moment that we are in, that the church actually fully believed that we were all ministers, that wherever we are, that we were there to bring the heart of heaven, that we were there to bring and represent who he is wherever we go. What if every business person, what if every store owner, what if every waitress and every nurse and every doctor and every delivery person, every person in the marketplace, every mom and every dad actually believed that right now the Father has sent us. That the Father has sent us, that Jesus sends us right where we are. What if we actually believed that ministry wasn't just for people on a stage? Come on. Can I hear a couple amens in the room? There's like eight people in here. What if we actually believed that ministry wasn't just for people on a stage? And what if we actually believed and refused radically consumer Christianity? What would happen if we actually radically refused consumer Christianity? Radically refused to just sit and watch and sit and spectate. Refuse to just sit and wait for the church to be open again. Think about this. What if the main thing wasn't like I'm just sitting and waiting for the church gathering to open again? And instead we saw that our purpose in life was to advance the kingdom of heaven right now, right where I am. To do what Jesus did through the power of the Holy Spirit. What if we saw the job? What if we saw the position that we're in as a vehicle? But the ultimate purpose for doing whatever I'm doing is to bring the kingdom, to make him known, to be available with my whole life. Can you imagine what would happen? What if we saw that every place of influence that we've been given is a place for Jesus to show up and be displayed? That's what we saw in Jesus. If we really believe that as the Father sent him, he sends us, then this is what happens with our everyday. What if the promotion that you received wasn't really about more money? What if the promotion was about the kingdom being advanced in a greater way through your life? Like what if the favor that you've been given isn't about you at all? What if it's about Jesus getting released in a greater measure? Think about that. What if those strong-willed kids that you're raising right now that are wearing you out like crazy really isn't about what it looks like and it feels like in the moment? What if you're getting them ready to release a mighty move of God? What if why it's so hard right now in that moment of raising your kids in this moment? What if it's so hard because it's going to be so big what God is going to do through them? I feel that to encourage you mamas, especially right now, that are dealing with unimaginable, you know, trials and pressure of motherhood and fatherhood. What if you have been sent? That literally, in the moment of that difficulty, that you've been sent in there to show your kids who Jesus is. Whatever our position, whatever our role, whatever the title, what if we saw it as a place that we've been sent? A place that we've been sent to make him known. What if that influence really is been given to us to bring the kingdom of God? Here's what I want to suggest to us today. That church, if we can make this shift right now, if we could catch this vision, the church of Jesus Christ can never be shut down. The Church of Jesus Christ could never be shut down by a virus or by anything else. It wouldn't matter how great the threat. We could never be shut down because the greatest harvest would be released, bigger than we've ever seen, because we would still be advancing the kingdom of God. Because we'd be available all the time for him. I want to encourage you guys right now in this moment. Nobody wants the large church gathering back more than me. And I'm not sitting passive on that. We're active in desiring that, trust me. But we are not victims in this moment. We are not victims in this moment. We've been given a kingdom that is not determined by externals. The kingdom of God is in us, and it gets to advance regardless of externals. That's what we get to do. We get to be a part of a kingdom that advances in any situation, in any outside thing that's pressuring us and challenging us. We're in a kingdom that gets to come no matter what. We see it throughout the book of Acts. We see it in the midst of extreme difficulty, extreme persecution. The church grew. The church multiplied. It says they added to their numbers daily over and over. There was kingdom advancement. Hear me, please. This is so important. I want to say this to you today. Kingdom advancement was not determined by government or state. Its impact was determined by the availability and the obedience of believers to do what Jesus said to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's not blame anybody or anything else. This is a moment for the church to rise up. I believe in this day, in this moment, the impact that is to come from us is determined by our availability and our obedience as believers to do what Jesus said to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. They actually believed what Jesus said to do. As the Father sent me, so I send you. They didn't just hear the words, they went and they did what he said. Thinking about this over the last year, from the beginning of me stepping into the lead pastor role here, which is in just a few weeks, it'll be almost a year, I shared with you and I shared with our staff in different settings that I believe that this was a year of reset, a year of alignment. And I use this line a bunch that what has got us here, which has been so wonderful, and we are so thankful for all that's gotten us here. But what has gotten us here will not get us to the next place that he's taking us. And I was saying all of these things pre-COVID-19. And there's an obvious acceleration on these words right now. And in many ways, I believe that the Lord is giving us a clean slate as we step into the future. Because we know there's more. We've been saying that for some time. We know there is more. We know that there is a greater kingdom expansion and a greater kingdom expression for the church. And I want you to know, Hope Family specifically, I want you to know that our pastors, we've been gathering and we've been soaking. We've been just like laying on the floor in the presence of the Lord to listen and to hear. We've been praying. We've been asking the Lord for his heart, especially together over these last couple of weeks, certainly during this whole time. But church, we want his heart. I told our staff, we're not just going back to what we were doing before this all broke out, that this thing that God... things that God has not clearly spoken to us that we were doing, they have to stop so that all that's in his heart for the church in the future can come forth. I'm so filled with hope about all that's coming in the church, and it's going to be so good. Turn to somebody, tell them, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. But I've been thinking about all the incredible, powerful times that we've had in this very room, on this campus, in the family center, over the last year, over the last years, really worshiping, encountering the presence of God together. It was like the Lord was reminding me of these powerful moments when we'd have 400 people plus in this room on a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and we were just praying for outpouring, praying for people to come into the kingdom. I mean, we've just been just God, just people laid out on the floor because God touched them so powerfully. I was thinking about the miracles that we have seen, the healings of cancer and and all sorts of things that God has done. We have been together, joined together, inhaling what the Spirit of God has been doing. It's been so powerful through those passionate encounters, and I cannot wait to keep doing it together very soon. It's very key. It's very, very central to what we do. But I believe that right now, in this moment, I believe that this is a moment for the church to exhale all that God has put in us over this last year, over these last years, that this is a moment to exhale all that we have inhaled. That we've been, in some ways, scattered and unable to gather in the large group, but that it's actually a moment of greater understanding, greater revelation that we have been sent out. That this is actually a moment of greater understanding and seeing how we've been sent out. That it's a moment to do, to put into practice what we've heard over these years. What we've experienced over these years. That what has happened and when we were together does really translate into everyday life. To put into practice all the messages, all the moments of encounter. I believe that this is actually a missional moment that is going to transition us into a missional movement. I don't know if you feel that, but that is what the Lord has been speaking to me. I believe that this moment is a missional moment, and it's going to transition us into a missional movement like the book of Acts, where we radically refuse consumer Christianity, where we refuse to sit on the sidelines and wait for a program, but where we actually believe that we have been sent. That even if we can't get to church for a short season, that we walk in the reality that I am the church and I've been sent out. And that the kingdom advancement isn't on hold. That we radically refuse that idea that it's actually being released through me right now, wherever I am and wherever I go. Church, that is what we're called to. That is what we're called to. I'm irritated that we can't gather together too. I know there's a lot of irritated people about it, but let's not let that irritation get in the way from the mission that we've been sent on in this moment. Let's not get so wrapped up in all that isn't happening that we miss what God is wanting to do through us in this moment. I'm going to wrap up this talk here. Charity, you can come in a second. Acts chapter 2. I just want us to remember what the early church did and how they did it. Such a beautiful passage in verse 42 in chapter 2 of Acts. It says this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And it says, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says, and the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Wow, that's so beautiful. What a beautiful picture. You see this? They were in the temple and then homes. It was temple, homes. They gathered together and then they scattered to homes. It's the picture of the New Testament church. They devoted themselves to the scriptures. They devoted themselves to the scripture. They devoted themselves to fellowship. We were made for fellowship, right? We were made for relationship, for close connection. I think in this moment, we're all really aware that we were not made for isolation, that we were made for each other, to be with each other. They devoted themselves to breaking the bread together, to eating together. How many people like to eat? They devoted them. Ruby raised her hand. Yeah. They prayed together. They encountered the Lord together. They praised God together. They did their lives together. And what happened? It says, awe came on every soul. Signs and wonders were being done. And day by day, people were getting saved. People were coming to faith. They were coming to Jesus because they were on mission. Church, they were on mission. They were living as sent ones. They were living as sent ones. Church, the New Testament church, in the most difficult of situations and oppression and pressures, could not be stopped. Regardless of the external pressures and difficulties. And I want to suggest to you today that if we will come into alignment with the Spirit of God is calling us to, that the Church of Jesus Christ in 2020 cannot be stopped either. That the Church of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped by a virus. It cannot be stopped by restrictions or by anything else. When we live as sent ones, when we see our lives as being sent. And guess what? Though we can't gather yet at the temple, in this room, as a large group yet, we can gather in homes right now. We can gather in homes in groups up to 25 in this particular moment that we're in. And here's what I want to encourage our church family to do. I want you to hear me on this. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. That starting this week, I want to encourage you. Let's do what the early church did. I'm not talking about a program. I'm not talking about in this moment a life group program or any kind of a program. I'm talking about an expression of what Jesus has called us to do. I want to ask our church to begin to practice what we just read in Acts chapter 2. That you would invite people over to your house. That you would invite friends over. That you would invite a few people that you do life with. Maybe you invite a few people over that you don't know very well. Maybe somebody that's been on your heart that you've been thinking about. Maybe you invite somebody that doesn't know Jesus over to join in when you gather. And let's gather for this purpose. Let's gather to break bread. Let's gather to eat together. Everybody can bring something, so the weight of it isn't on one person. It's like potluck style. Let's gather to fellowship. Let's gather. We need to laugh. We need to hang out. We need to encourage and strengthen each other just by being together. We need to love on each other. Who cares if your house isn't perfect? Don't wait till your house is perfect. It'll never be perfect. Don't worry if it's a little messy. It's okay. Let's join together and devote ourselves to pray together. Pray for each other. Let's take this moment to pray for our nation. Pray for our city. Pray for the church. How about it? When we gather, we do what they did. We read a passage of scripture together. Nobody has to preach a sermon. And let's see what God will do. I have no doubt that signs and wonders are going to flow, because they're going to accompany those who believe. That's what the gospel tells us. Miracles will flow. I actually believe that we'll add to our numbers daily as we just begin to open our lives to people and invite them into our homes. Church, this isn't a program I'm talking about. This is you being led by the Spirit, opening your life, opening your home and saying, hey, let's gather, and let's gather for this purpose, and let's see what God will do. I also want to say this. Here's the thing. If you don't feel comfortable doing this, because of all that's going on around us, or there's some reason that you just can't do that, or maybe you feel like you'd be putting yourself in danger, I do not want you to feel any pressure to do this. I don't want you to feel any pressure to do this. I want to be clear, zero pressure. But I believe that for many, this is going to be a next step in kingdom advancement in this time, that we gather, we strengthen each other, and we see what God will do. If you don't have a place to invite people to, over to, or maybe you're not well connected, or maybe you just don't know many people. Later this week, we're going to put out information about several homes that are going to be open for you to be able to go join in and participate in, where we're just going to do what we just read out of Acts 2. I want to encourage you, that information will be coming later this week. Church, this is a moment where we cannot rely on programs. And we cannot rely on structures. We have to step out and see what God will do. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, is going to pour out all over our homes as we gather in these next weeks. Just wherever you are, would you just stand with me right now? We're going to close. I want to pray together in just a minute, and the team's going to lead us in a song. But I just felt to ask you this. What would happen each day if we just made a decision to dig in? Like, I mean, really dig in. You know what I mean? Like, dig in to Jesus, where we got up and we began our day by seeking the Lord, where we actually just decided tonight before we went to bed, I'm going to set my alarm 30 minutes earlier. I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier and I'm going to put him first. And I'm going to begin just by a little worship, a little prayer, and I'm going to dig into Jesus. I'm going to take a gospel. Maybe you take a gospel, or you take the book of Acts, and you dig in and say, Jesus, show me how to do this kingdom thing right now in this moment that we're in. And we dig in and we immerse ourselves in how the Father sent Jesus so we can clearly see and we can know how we've been sent. And we offered our entire life to him, and we just said, I'm available. I'm available. Guide me, speak to me, lead me. This entire day is yours. I'm completely available to you. Right where you are, would you just lift your hands right now? Right where you are, let's just all stand together this morning and let's just offer ourselves, our lives again, and just say, I'm available. I'm available. The team's going to lead us in this song. Just lift your voices, lift your hands, and just say, I'm available.